Books of the Bible. Zechariah was a prophet who preached God's judgment, repentance, and the promise of salvation to the Jews returning from exile. He relays a series of apocalyptic visions, focusing on the coming of Christ, the final salvation of God's people, and the final judgment upon sinners. Remember that Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of prophecy. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Toxicity. It's not just for men anymore. This is Wretched Radio, courtesy of a book. Wow, is this a rare bird, by David Edgington, called The Abusive Wife? What? Ministering to the contentious woman, the reviling woman. This is the lady who is upset about pretty much everything, who makes life exceedingly hard for husband and for children. Vacations are never pleasant. Nobody ever does it right. Everybody does things wrong. And it is a strife-filled home. And the Bible repeatedly describes it as being a miserable experience, one in which the man just wants to escape. And unfortunately, all too often does, rather than confronting the reviling woman, which scares men. I think this is a Genesis issue, that we understand that the woman's bent, this is because of the fall, the woman's bent is to usurp the husband's role. And typically the bent of the man in our fallen state is to say, okay, I'll give it up. I don't want to engage because I don't want strife. And when that kind of a man lives with a woman that is loaded for bear with strife, he retreats and he does not engage, and he simply tries to carve out a life where he can get a little bit of peace here and there, and that ain't the way it ought to be. Sir, if you're living with a contentious wife, please don't hear me minimizing how awful it must be. The Bible, Proverbs are loaded with it. Drip, drip, drip. It's like living with an incessant drip when a woman is just nagging, nagging, nagging. Loitereoing, reviling, being bitter and angry and contentious and caustic and mean. That ain't fun at all. We get that. But I want to encourage you to not give up. She's your ministry. She needs rescuing. And by the way, this book titled The Abusive Wife, it isn't about pagan couples. This is about Christian couples. I was reading an article. This was from Christian Post, about abuse of women and the number of men who are actually abused. 26% of men experienced sexual violence, physical violence, or stalking by an intimate partner during their lifetime. And then it went on to say, research indicates approximately 1 in 4 women experience severe physical violence from an intimate partner, a statistic that holds true both inside and outside the church. What? Family studies found that in the United States, 1 in 4 highly religious couples reported experiencing intimate partner violence in their current relationship. Whoa. There's a lot going on behind Christian doors. Charlie Rich ain't involved, but the church should be. I think about all of these sermons that deal with such trite, frivolous, and silly things when the reality is, this type of thing is happening even in good churches. It just is. And none of us should be shocked at this. We are on the fallen side of things. And even though we're being progressively sanctified, the reality is people are just different stages inside of the church. And some of them don't even know better. And they're struggling. And there's some ugliness going on behind closed doors. And these churches that come out with these dopey sermons and these trite, hey, here's how to manage your finances better. Here's how to have more self-esteem about yourself. They aren't doing anybody any favors. We need to be aware that these things are going on inside of Christian homes so that we can help. What are the causes of reviling woman? There are many. We live in a world where anybody who puts any sort, it can be a sliver, And that's a stumbling block that causes people to feel like, oh, it's the worst thing in the world. Because we are incessantly told the world is about you, you me monster. And we love hearing that song sung to us. We drink it in. And we are totally convinced that everything should be in perfect alignment with us. And I have seen that as a problem. I think this is why many people aren't getting married as early as they used to. That they can meet somebody who is a perfectly good candidate for being a spouse, but because he doesn't, she doesn't, or they did this, or you know, she did that, well, then they just get disqualified because they don't check every single box as defined by me and my preferences. And I think that if you haven't explored that, if you're young and you have not been pursuing marriage, or you've perhaps thrown in the towel because there's just no good men, there's just no good women. Is it possible that your definition of good is ridiculous and nobody can possibly qualify for that standard? People are sinners. And no, you don't want to marry somebody just because they're a carbon 14 unit and that's enough. I guess I got to get married. Nobody's suggesting that, but the idea that the person needs to be perfect in every regard, it is not going to happen. I digress, but it's the way that I am. And if you disagree with me, you're toxic. Now, this was from Greg Morse to Men Delaying Marriage. A fellow, you've never heard of him, 1525, Wolfgang Reisenbusch. Yep, he was German. He was in a monastery. And it meant that he took a vow of to be single, as you would do in the Roman Catholic Church. And he heard some teachings from the Reformers, specifically Martin Luther, that a man who's in ministry can and probably should be married. And so he wrote to the then bachelor, Martin Luther. And here's what Luther wrote back. And this is for you, young man. If you're not pursuing marriage and you've given up because there's just no good ones out there. This is for you. It is said, wrote Luther, that it takes a bold man to venture to take a wife. What you need above all else, then, is to be encouraged, admonished, urged, incited, and made bold. Come on, dude. You want a challenge? Go find a wife. And incidentally, don't let this descriptor of an abusive wife frighten you. This is the exception. It's not the rule. It's happening too much, but it nevertheless is the exception. And even if you do get married because you did your best and you received godly counsel and you tried to find a woman who had biblical qualifications for being a great spouse and she turns out to be a reviler, then guess what? You need to man up, stay in the game, take your knocks. I know it ain't fun. And help that woman and rescue a damsel that is in distress. You need courage to do that, Luther. Why should you delay, my dear and reverend sir? And continue to weigh the matter in your mind. It must, should, and will happen in any case. Stop thinking about it. Go to it right merrily. Hey, Jimmy, I think that in the future, mm-hmm. That's how I'm going to request anything from you. Hey, Jimmy.
Yes?
Would you please grab the sound of that ridiculous preacher up in Canada who said that we should stop using the word savior because it'll make women feel bad or Muslims feel bad and go to it right merrily.
I'm on it.
Your body demands it. God wills it and drives you to it. And the author, Greg Morris, says, what are some of you doing? Stalling, delaying, trifling, prolonging, joysticking, late-nighting, fast-fooding. Boying. Get on it. Stop being a perpetual groomsman. Never the groom. Ships in the dock. Maybe overthinking. Maybe lazy. Maybe sinful. The excuses are many. Only some of them are valid. For some, adulthood seems like an undesirable destination. So you settle. Sit yourself on the bench. Keep yourself in the shallow end. Bowl with the bumpers up. Stop thinking about it. Get merrily to it, as I will get merrily to, the descriptor of the abusive woman and the reason that these women are very, very difficult to deal with, it is because of a root of bitterness. It is a deadly poison. Bitterness, it comes from a wound or a hurt or a disappointment. But the fertilizer that gets thrown on it are the counselors and the worldview and the articles and the YouTube videos that say, you and your feelings are all that matter. And then that, all that does is feed a root of bitterness. Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it, no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. What does a root of bitterness do? It's like putting something toxic into a swimming pool. It just creeps and pervades and ruins it. And that's exactly what a root of bitterness does. Are you a contentious woman? Are you a reviler? Do you find that your house is filled with strife and maybe you are the author of most or even all of it? There's good news. You're bitter. Why is that good news? Because God is an expert in dealing with bitterness. Next on Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know that moment when you're scrolling through your news feed on social media and everything just feels upside down? Yeah, that's the culture we're living in right now. But you know what gets me excited? At Fortis Institute, we're not just watching on the sidelines. We've assembled a team of incredible voices who are diving deep into God's Word every single day. I'm talking about Dr. John Crotts helping you integrate theology into real life, or Dr. Adam Tyson, who is speaking truth into young men's hearts, or Pastor Brad Bigney transforming marriages from surviving to thriving. But here's the thing, while we're standing strong, that's what Fortis means, by the way, we need gospel partners who'll stand with us. People who will look at the culture and say, you know what? The church needs more than just encouragement. It needs equipping. We're not starting something new at Fortis. We're strengthening something vital. And so if you're ready to join us in this mission, if you're ready to help us equip believers with truth that transforms, then head over to fortisinstitute.org right now to find out how to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
The life issue. We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds still save lives. These pregnancy centers that progressives would love to shut down or arrest people for praying in front of abortuaries, they're still doing excellent work and babies are still being rescued. This is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? This ain't about politics. This is about saving those who are staggering to the slaughter, period. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
25 years. That's a quarter century of standing firm for biblical truth.
This is Wretched Radio.
Through every cultural shift, every challenge, every opportunity to proclaim God's truth, you've been with us. And for that, we're grateful. What started as Wretched Radio has grown into something remarkable. Today, as part of Fortis Institute, we're reaching more believers than ever before. Our daily podcasts and radio shows, video content, and biblical resources continue to strengthen local churches and equip the saints, just as we've done for 25 years. But none of this would be possible without faithful partners like you. You've helped us reach millions with the unchanging truth of God's Word. As we celebrate this milestone, we're reminded that our mission remains the same, serving the King of Kings by strengthening His church. Join us at FortisInstitute.org as we continue this journey together for 25 more years of faithful service.
Until tomorrow, go serve your King.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who He is and what He has done. Jesus is called the Son of Man. Daniel chapter 7 describes the Son of Man who came from heaven, received worship from all nations, and rules a kingdom that will never be destroyed. Jesus uses this title to affirm that He is fully human and fully divine. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
He can't do enough. He can't be enough. He can't please enough. Why? Because he is the husband of an abusive wife. This is Wretched Radio. David Edgington, a biblical counselor, pastor in El Mirage, Arizona, writing a book that unfortunately, it appears, needs to be written and read by a lot of people because there are an increasing number of women who have a root of bitterness. And the Proverbs describe this woman as being very, very difficult to live with. She tears down her own house with her words and just the aura that she gives off. Just that you walk in and it's like, oh boy, I can feel the chill coming off of that woman. And this is the proverbial woman who's a drip, drip, dripper, who's contentious, argumentative, and it makes the entire family want to run away to the far corners of the home or just get out of there altogether. And this book, it is an effort to help. But here's where it gets hard, sir. If you are the husband of a contentious woman, you can try and try and try. And the problem is, it's never enough. You just can't do enough. She's never happy. If that describes your wife, chances are you're living with a reviler. And madam, if your husband never does anything right, yep, there's a possibility he could just be a complete and total loser, but maybe it is because you are becoming a reviling wife. And the reason for that attitude that says your husband can't do nothing right around the house, he can't fix things, he can't do this book, it gives example after example of the things that the reviling woman just gets furious about. He doesn't make the bed right. Don't do the laundry. I don't like the way you fold the laundry. Stop doing the laundry. That's the woman who's never happy. And at the core of it would be a root of bitterness. It works like this. You've been told perhaps by the world and you've had desires that are right and decent and good. I want a good husband. I want them to be somebody that I do life with. Well, then you get married and you realize, whoa, they're a sinner. And if your expectation perhaps was at an idolatrous level, or if your expectation was that everybody exists to make me happy, that person is going to sin and you're going to be disappointed. And if forgiveness is not granted to the individual that is disappointed or sinned against you, guess what happens? That root of bitterness, it starts to go down into the soil. And if it doesn't get tended to, and if you don't understand that marriage means you're living with a sinner, and the goal of marriage is to help one another to not sin so much so that we can glorify the Lord more, play our roles better, run to celestial city together. If you don't understand that's what marriage is about, you're perpetually being wounded and hurt, and the root grows deeper and bigger and wider, and it takes over. And the next thing you know, you're a drip, drip, dripper. Are you regularly upset with your family, madam? And I know they biff it, they goof up, you got teenagers, and what do you know? They can be sloppy. But you're furious about it. You're just mad. And there's very little joy in your life because of the people that you live with, that you've meditated on these hurts and these wounds, and you have grown a root of bitterness. From the book, bitterness is the result of not forgiving others. It's the consequence of not letting go of an offense. It's the fruit of a heart hardened by resentment. Hebrews 12:15, the root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble. Some describe bitterness as an imploding. It doesn't explode, it just boils up from within. And it doesn't just affect the bitter person, it affects many. What did Hebrews say? Many become defiled because of the bitter person. Exceptionally difficult to be around, like walking on eggshells, everything offends them. Almost anything you do is an agitation. And when you try, sir, and you try and you try and you try, it's just never enough. She's never happy. You know that if you live with a reviling woman. But if you're a woman and you're still enduring this diatribe, do the people in your house bug you? You might not be full-blown reviling woman, but you're on your way. And you will continue to become more and more bitter as that root grows deeper and deeper. From the book, most of the bitterness I have seen in wives is not due to extreme situations. It's usually over minor problems in the marriage. Here's some examples. You ready for this? This will give you an idea. If you don't, praise God, if you don't live with a reviling woman, but it'll give you an idea. The reviling woman, she knows better about how the husband should lead the family. Or the wife knows how better to fix the broken garage door. And if he disagrees with her, look out. The wife who doesn't want to follow her husband in how to parent the children. He's not stern enough. He's too stern. Whatever it is, it ain't right. The wife, these are examples that he's experienced throughout 20 years of biblical counseling. The wife that says the husband doesn't load the dishwasher the right way. Or the husband makes the bed in the morning after they both get up, but he does it the wrong way. He doesn't put his clothes in the hamper. Or he won't listen to her talk while he's watching a football game on TV. Which is a bad thing to do, dude. Especially if you watch the Super Bowl. Wow, what a turkey that was. Or he doesn't do a myriad of things. He doesn't park his car in the driveway the way that she's too far over. He never hugs the wall enough. Bitterness is present when a person refuses to let go of a grudge. They insist on carrying resentment toward the... And boy, be careful if you're starting to get bitter or you are bitter. It kind of becomes who you are and you're comfortable there. And you're slow to try to pull those roots up because it's what you know. And you've perhaps grown to actually like it. Bitterness is one of the most destructive and most effective and probably one of the most common weapons of the enemy. And yet the bitter person thinks she is justified in her bitterness. If he would change, then I wouldn't be bitter. Remember, nobody makes you bitter. Nobody can do that. Now, they can provoke and they can goad, but they don't make you do nothing. That's on you. The sin that comes out of your heart is already there. They might be picking away at it, but they aren't creating it. They don't make it exist. From the book, and I find so many counselors and pastors who are afraid to confront the bitter wife and hold her accountable for her bitterness. It's a delicate balance as a counselor, as a biblical counselor, because you're confronted with two different opinions, which is why in this book, he says, never counsel separately. It's got to be together. Otherwise, you're going to get one side, and typically you're going to just have a sentiment toward one versus the other, and then you're going to accuse the other of that's just bring them in together to do the counseling together. When bitterness is repented from, change and reconciliation happens. But when bitterness, unforgiveness reside in the heart, nothing can make that marriage better. It plummets. It becomes impossible for the non-bitter spouse to live in a way that is pleasing to the bitter spouse. Never satisfied, harshly judges, and believes it's always right. This might be a test for you, madam. Do you think you're always right? Is he always wrong? Do you find yourself struggling to admit, hey, you're right. Hey, good idea. It would be an indicator that there's some bitterness going on. The good news is forgiveness can pull that bad boy up. That's the only thing that can pull it up. When there is repentance, when there is actual genuine forgiveness, and then the root of bitterness can come up. But if not, it's going to be a miserable life for everybody involved. And maybe it'll even end in divorce. Counselors need to confront women. Counselors need to confront men. I think we all get that. The reviling wife does not permit differences of opinion. The reviling wife is the one who is unhappy with everything. And the biblical counselor must help her understand that's a sin and that needs to be repented of. And no one is to blame for the sins of another. Repentance cannot be optional for the reviling wife. She should not be permitted to continue on with her abusive behavior without a counselor or pastor calling her to repentance. and then holding her accountable to actually become repentant. In other words, to put off the bitterness and start putting on Proverbs 31. The book is titled The Abusive Wife, Ministering to the Contentious Woman by David Edgington. Sadly, it appears to be needed. It offers help. It offers hope for the husband that lives with the abusive wife, seeing her as a ministry, a damsel in distress who needs a knight to rescue her, and hope for the bitter woman as she is able to see her own self as a sinner who's been forgiven by Jesus and then is willing to forgive those who have sinned against her so that repentance can actually take place in a home. The bitter root can be uprooted and you can live in a house that is filled not with dripping, but with joy. It can happen. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.